Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. Sophisticated technology spoils us. It spoils us because we expect so much more. Modern hearing technology, which is fabulous, is no exception. We've invested in this hearing technology, and so we expect our child to talk clearly. I mean, in our minds, the two are related, and it seems a reasonable expectation. If that is your thinking, then you may find this particular episode, Clear Speech, very interesting. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. We've had newborn hearing screening done. Further testing confirms that our baby has a profound hearing loss and is deaf. We've connected with the professionals we need to, and we've begun auditory verbal therapy. Our infant has undergone cochlear implant surgery, and her device has been activated within her first year of life. It's been a few months now, and yet you don't hear clear speech. Why not, you wonder? We forget that children with typical hearing have been listening in utero, and their first words come tumbling out just as they approach their second birthday or soon after. The point to understand is that it takes little ones some time before they begin to talk. It follows then that it takes our deaf or hard of hearing children some time before they too start talking. There are 4 points I wish to make in this episode. The first is that we talk as we hear. Muddy in, muddy out. So yes, we may have the most sophisticated hearing technology, whether it is hearing aids or cochlear implants, but have these devices been accurately and skillfully attuned with their level set by competent professionals, namely audiologists, who have set levels that are commensurate with your baby's hearing levels and at that point in time? And these hearing levels change over time as your baby learns to listen. We talk as we hear. Therefore, in order to talk clearly, we have to be hearing clearly, which means that the hearing technology that our child is using has to have been adjusted and set such that the child has to have access to what is being said around her. The second point is that talking presupposes listening. Talking is the outcome of a consistent period of listening time. And that is the purpose of auditory verbal therapy. And that is the reason why auditory verbal therapy is an early intervention approach, because we get in there early. We begin in the infant's first year of life so as to instill that habit of listening. It's not unreasonable that sometimes one forgets that there is a hearing loss. The hearing technology is so fabulous. It does such amazing things. Your baby is able to listen to things she never heard before, that you assume that it's a job done. However, the hearing technology doesn't make the hearing loss go away. There is still the fact that your child is deaf or hard of hearing. That's not going away. What has gone away is the difficulty to access the spoken language signal, or to access speech, and to access a clear speech signal. That is what has changed. She still needs to be trained to listen. Her listening needs to be trained. And that is the job or the focus of auditory verbal therapy in those early years or in those early days. And then as the child becomes a listener more consistently, to establish her and make her a settled listener so that she is then able to transition to being a skilled listener and listening in challenging situations, such as listening in noise and at a distance. But we deal with those challenges in a later episode on this show. So we go back to the second point, that talking presupposes listening. So just to reiterate, we talk as we hear. We hear clearly, we talk clearly. The second is that talking presupposes listening. The sophisticated hearing technology doesn't make hearing loss disappear. It just makes the speech signal that much easier to access, and it makes the speech signal clear to hear. But we need to be trained to listen, because we do have hearing difficulty. And the third and most important point I would say is that your baby will talk when she is ready to talk. So you're probably wondering, so what does this readiness involve? And that is the crux of this episode.
How can we raise our deaf or hard of hearing baby to be ready to talk? So there is the first aspect that we need to consider, and that is the readiness of the oral mechanism. Now, the most significant speech organ is, believe it or not, the tongue. And believe it or not, again, the tongue is a muscle. And like all muscles, they need to be exercised. They need to go to the gym. And how do we go to the gym when we are 2 months and 4 months of age? It is by simple acts of daily living. It is by swallowing, by producing sound or vocalization, by chewing as we get introduced to solids. And that's what works all the oral musculature, that is your teeth, your jaws, your cheeks, and of course your tongue. So resist the temptation of using pre-prepared foods that are pureed and mash your slightly overcooked food in your infant who is just beginning to eat solids. Because that mashed food has texture. That texture engages the speech organs into working harder, into going to the gym, into exercising, into getting into shape. And it seems almost absurdly simple that the everyday simple act of chewing and swallowing prepares that oral musculature and that oral mechanism for speech a few months down the road. So to summarize again, the three main messages you need to take away from this episode is that we talk as we hear, talking presupposes listening, and that your little one will talk when she is ready to talk. And the first aspect of that readiness is the readiness of the oral or speech mechanism to gear up for speech production. And the second aspect of that readiness is that there is a hierarchy, that there is a pre-speech development. Children don't just wake up talking. There is a lot of preparation that has gone, perhaps unnoticed, before those first words come tumbling out. Just as your child doesn't start to walk before she's able to sit up. Or you wouldn't take your child swimming if she wasn't able to sit up or walk. There is that hierarchy in place. And similarly, we have a hierarchy for what we call pre-speech development. Without getting into technicalities, let me just take you quickly through that first year of life in which so many things are happening to prepare your infant to speak early. Just the sheer joy of interacting with their environment motivates our infant to produce sound. Now, these sounds are produced reflexively without a conscious decision to produce sound. They just happen on their own. The child vocalizes and produces sound. Yes. And as she grows and grows a little more, she produces more sound until she approaches the age of about 6 months, when these vocalizations change, the pattern of these vocalizations change, and they manifest as what we call babbling. So the sustained sound production that we called vocalization has now changed into the stage of babbling. Babbling is a random series of vocalizations in which sounds are produced with no apparent order or consistency. And there is an abundance of sound production.
Babu.
Abu.
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 Now, you might ask, so yeah, okay, get it. But I mean, what's the difference between vocalization and babbling? Babbling is a vocal reaction to social interaction. Children babble when someone is talking to them, singing with them, playing with them, hugging them. Children vocalize reflexively. So you might be one of those parents who noticed that your child was vocalizing. There was that sustained production of sound. And then all of a sudden, it kind of disappeared. Now, you assumed that all was in order because, I mean, she was producing sound. So, I mean, how can you question hearing? But the point is that babbling is the response of a child who is listening to the social interaction that is going on in their very busy, active, captivating environments of people coming and going, the hustle and bustle of family life, the barking of the dog. It is in reaction to that social interaction. Someone is talking to that baby. And that means that your baby is listening when your child is deaf or hard of hearing and it is unidentified at that point in time, or it is not addressed, or it is not appropriately addressed. Your baby is not listening to the extent and in the way she needs to be listening in order to be able to then react to that social interaction. And so that vocalization, which was so robust, begins to fade away. When with the support of early and appropriate identification and services with our little professional, our baby is well amplified and we engage our baby very creatively, your baby who is deaf or hard of hearing, transitions to the stage of what we call jargon, as do children with typical hearing by the time they approach about 10 to 12 months of age. So what is jargon? Jargon represents strings of babbled utterances highlighted by intonation, rhythm, and pausing. It is this turn-taking behavior which your little one begins to exhibit almost like she is talking. And you listen closely and there are no words. But you understood from her intonation, from her pause, from her gaze, that maybe she was asking you a question. And parents, especially parents, when given the guidance and the power of auditory verbal therapy, start engaging their child in mini conversations, which may or may not have true words when it comes to the baby's turn to talk. But the point is, there is that adult baby turn taking. And that's just so wonderful because that paves the way beautifully to hone the child's listening further such that she wants to imitate the new sounds and all the things that are being modeled for her by her caregivers, by her family, and all those who love her.
Leila.
Leila.
Leila. Oh, my.
Come on.
Oh, my.
Leila.
Leila.
She starts to imitate, just like this little one, all in preparation for the first words to come tumbling out. And when they do, just as in the case of this little one who said her father's name, and you can just hear the thrill in his voice, even if you don't speak their language, you understand that she said something that really pleased her father. You can hear it in his voice. And if you were to watch the video, you'd see her smile as if to say, yep, you got it. I was calling you. These first words are then combined to convey meaning by our toddler. They're combined with other words so that we have new word combinations that come out almost every day. These new word combinations combine into longer word combinations to make complete sentences. Conversation is both the base plate and the pinnacle or the apex of the pyramid of talking and of the pyramid of our child's spoken language development. So this will take you right back to the earlier episode that we had with Warren Estabrooks, where he makes the point that conversation is both our starting point as well as our final goal. That we use conversation to get to conversation and to develop that conversational fluency. And it's such a thrill as children start picking up those words, picking up little rhymes. It doesn't have to be perfect. They don't remember the entire sentence, but they're getting there. And that's the excitement.
Ni hermat. Ni her post. Ni her day. Ni her strand.
But remember, there is that hierarchy. And we need to be prepared before we can talk. So let's get in there and let's provide the support our deaf or hard of hearing child needs so that she is fully prepared, her oral mechanism is completely ready to talk at the earliest. Every now and then I get asked the question that, oh, you know, my child says so-and-so sounds, but she doesn't quite say this. My child can't say her brother's name properly. His name's Robert, and she keeps going, wawa, wawa. The point is she's only 3 years old. And typically, R or R is a later developing sound. I don't want to get into technicalities, but as I said, there is a hierarchy or there is an order in which the speech sounds of any language develop. And the earliest sounds that develop are the vowels. So vocalizations and the babbling is full of a range of vowels, of course interspersed with consonants, which may later disappear. So before the age of two, it's those vowels that you just keep hearing so much of. Then between the ages of two and a half, the sounds produced by 90% of children are the P, that is the P, the B, the B, the T, the D, the K, the G, and the M. And then between the ages of, say, 2.5 to little short of the third birthday is the F, that is the F, the W, the H, the H, and the N. So why am I telling you this? Because when one understands that there is a hierarchy of speech sound development, one is patient and one understands that one sound lays the ground for the onset of the next sound in that gradation. And that you can't expect later sounds to be developing without the earlier sounds having emerged. So you're wondering, what has this got to do with me? Well, the role of the professional serving you, especially if she is a LISL professional, is to monitor your growing child's speech development and make you aware of the sounds that she should be producing appropriate to her age and stage of development, and to give you a hint of the next sounds that one can expect to hear. So what do I mean by monitoring? So for example, wa is a sound one is expecting to hear in a toddler as she approaches her third birthday, between 2.5 and say 2 years, 11 months of age. Well, suppose it isn't developing. So listen for it. Children at this age are so into imitation. They imitate any and everything, especially what their parents are saying to them. And so wa is a combination of, say, an oo and an ah sound. And so even if you're playing and you're putting on her socks and you're going ooh, wah, wah, ooh, wah, or even the wow, everything that she does is such a wow moment, very soon she will be imitating it. Just citing this as an example of how we monitor the speech development in infants without being invasive and intrusive and without interrupting that development, which is so natural and so critical for future fluency. Okay, so as I said, I think I'm just really delighted. Tell me, what do you see as the difference?
So it's different consonants and vowels. Before it was just ma, ma, ma. So now she's doing ma, be, bu, bi. She's combining different syllables, I think.
So definitely, I love that she has a lot with the consonants. She had the ba, the da, the ga, the wa. And I think a little bit of the oo.
We're doing most of the times wow. So she is imitating as it's a ooh, wow.
Exactly.
But not
not in isolation.
No, not.
That's okay. That's okay. But
she is babbling, if I can say, and I let her to babble.
She's enjoying listening to herself.
Yes, I think it's
definitely
as we all and we are laughing because it's sometimes she's screaming and she makes us laugh.
But what's really important, she's using her voice to communicate. So it's almost like she's talking. And you will get a clear sense that there is turn taking. It was wonderful because he was waiting. And she was listening. And then she would respond to that question, not with words as yet, but by stringing sounds together that made it sound as if she was replying in a sentence. That is the jargon. And that is the stepping stone to first words and early words emerging. Children don't go to producing words generally, you know, as in one leap. This is the in-between stepping stone, and that's jargon. So once the child starts demonstrating jargon, it's exciting because we're looking now for the time when she starts saying her first words. If you just looked at the interaction between father and daughter, they were having a conversation. Most importantly, remember, it is how you engage your baby through conversation, because it is through conversation that we're going to get to that conversational competency and to clear speech. It is the base and the apex of our pyramid.
Thank you so much for your interest and time and for listening to this episode all the way to the end.
So the one thought I'd love to leave you with is that speech is the outcome of a lot of preparation, of clear access to the speech signal, to the habit of listening and the instilling of a listening attitude, and of the readiness of the speech mechanism to produce meaningful patterns of sound. But most importantly, remember, it is how you engage your baby through conversation, because it is through conversation that we're going to get to that conversational competency and to clear speech. It is the base and the apex of our pyramid. So to summarize again, the three main messages you need to take away from this episode is that we talk as we hear. Talking presupposes listening, and that your little one will talk when she is ready to talk. Coming up next on this podcast is the episode Noisy Spaces. So stay tuned and come join us and have a listen. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.